Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Before we get into today's news, we need to open with a severe weather alert that is going to impact everyone's weekend plans.
That's exactly right. If you are heading out on Saturday morning, you need to prepare right now. We are looking at a 100% chance of heavy rain starting at 9 a.m. and continuing right through the noon hour.
The National Weather Service radar shows a significant system of storms moving into southwest Michigan, and there is an increasing risk for severe conditions, including thunderstorms and damaging winds. While we don't have active localized warnings at this exact second, officials are urging residents to be ready for rapidly shifting conditions.
Right now in Grand Rapids, it is a chilly 43 degrees, but with the winds coming out of the west-southwest at 6 miles per hour, it actually feels closer to 40 degrees. We have overcast clouds hanging over the city, with humidity sitting at 77%. We will see things warm up a bit as we head into Friday evening. By 3 p.m. today, we should hit 55 degrees, and we'll peak around 67 degrees by 9 p.m. under broken clouds. But that overnight period into Saturday is when the system really starts to take hold. Temperatures will drop back down to about 54 degrees by 3 a.m. Saturday. The rain is expected to start light around 9 a.m., but it will transition into moderate to heavy rainfall by midday, bringing that 100% chance of precipitation.
And with the unpredictable nature of this spring weather pattern, event organizers in Grand Rapids are being advised to prioritize public safety. If you are hosting or attending an outdoor event tomorrow morning, you really need to have an emergency plan and a solid indoor backup strategy in place.
Absolutely. The National Weather Service emphasizes that in these unsettled spring patterns, severe weather alerts can pop up with very little notice. Keep your phones charged and make sure you have your weather alerts turned on throughout the weekend.
Moving on to our first major story today, the Grand Rapids City Council has officially approved a sweeping new affordable housing initiative aimed at addressing the ongoing inventory crisis downtown.
This is a significant development, and it comes after months of intense debate between housing advocates, local developers, and city officials. The initiative, which passed late Thursday night in a 5-2 vote, allocates $15 million toward the construction of mixed-income developments over the next 3 years. The core of this plan focuses on incentivizing developers to designate at least 30% of new downtown units for residents making below 60% of the area median income. In exchange, the city is offering substantial tax abatements and expedited zoning approvals. And that expedited zoning piece is really where the friction point has been. If you remember our previous coverage on the state housing bills pushing to limit local zoning authority, this local initiative almost feels like a preemptive strike by Grand Rapids to maintain control while still boosting density. To put this in perspective, let's look at the numbers. According to the research brief provided by city planners, Grand Rapids is currently facing a deficit of roughly 14,000 affordable units, and that number has been steadily climbing since 2020. Mayor Rosalind Bliss has been very vocal about this, stating that the city cannot wait for Lansing or Washington to solve the local housing shortage. But it's not without its critics. Two council members voted against the measure, arguing that the $15 million price tag relies too heavily on projected tax revenues that might not materialize. They pointed to the fact that office vacancy rates in the Central Business District are still hovering around 16%. Their argument is that giving tax abatements to residential developers right now could put a severe strain on the city's general fund down the road, especially if commercial property values continue to stagnate. And we have to consider the impact on specific neighborhoods. For example, residents in the West Side and Heritage Hill have expressed concerns about how these high-density developments might alter the historic character of their communities. The new zoning rules that accompany this initiative allow for taller structures and reduced parking requirements, which has been a massive point of contention. Right. Parking is always the third rail of local politics here. The city argues that reducing parking requirements lowers the overall construction costs for developers, making it easier for them to meet that 30% affordable threshold. But existing residents are worried about street parking becoming completely overwhelmed. On the flip side, housing advocates argue that the 30% threshold doesn't go far enough. We heard public comment from several local nonprofits who pointed out that the median rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Grand Rapids has surged past $1,400 a month.
They wanted to see the threshold pushed to 40% of units reserved for lower-income residents, arguing that 30% barely scratches the surface of the crisis.
Developers, however, pushed back hard on that idea. The local builders association testified that with current construction costs, supply chain issues, and elevated interest rates, requiring 40% affordable units would make most downtown projects financially unviable without even larger public subsidies. They essentially said that if you push the threshold that high, nothing will get built at all.
It's a delicate balancing act. The city is trying to spark development while ensuring that the people who work downtown, teachers, service industry workers, municipal employees, can actually afford to live there. And we have to look at the enforcement mechanism built into this initiative. Developers who receive the tax abatements but fail to maintain the required ratio of affordable units will face strict financial penalties, including the immediate clawback of the tax incentives.
That clawback provision was a late addition to the bill, introduced just last week. It was essentially a compromise to win over some of the more skeptical council members who were worried about accountability. They wanted teeth in this legislation to ensure developers couldn't just take the tax breaks and run.
Will it be enough to close that 14,000-unit gap? Probably not on its own. The city planners estimate this initiative will generate about 1,200 new affordable units over the next 3 years. It's a start, but it's just one piece of a much larger puzzle. It will be very interesting to see which developers are the first to submit proposals under this new framework.
For our next story, we need to talk about a public health advisory that affects just about anyone planning to spend time outdoors in West Michigan this season. Kent County health officials have issued a stark warning about a significant rise in tick-borne illnesses. This isn't just your standard annual reminder to wear bug spray. The data coming out of the Kent County Health Department is genuinely concerning. They are reporting a 40% increase in Lyme disease cases compared to this same time last year, and we're only in the middle of May.
A 40% jump is massive, and health experts are attributing this spike directly to the unusually mild winter we just had, followed by this incredibly wet and unsettled spring weather pattern we're currently experiencing. We simply didn't get the deep, sustained freezes necessary to kill off the tick population over the winter.
Right. Ticks thrive in moisture and humidity. Because the ground didn't freeze as deeply or for as long as it typically does in West Michigan, a much larger population of ticks survived the winter. Now, with the rain we're seeing, like the severe system rolling in this weekend, the conditions are absolutely perfect for tick breeding. They're essentially waking up hungry and in massive numbers.
The health department's briefing specifically highlighted several local hotspots where tick activity is exceptionally high right now. They named Millennium Park, Seidman Park, and the trails around the Almond Park area as particular zones of concern. They've actually been dragging white cloths through the brush in these areas to sample the population, and the numbers are staggering.
Which is tough, because those are some of the most popular recreational areas in the county. Officials are urging residents to take proactive measures. They recommend using repellents containing at least 20% DEET, treating your hiking clothing and boots with permethrin, and sticking to the absolute center of trails to avoid brushing against tall grasses and leaf litter.
And it's not just Lyme disease they are tracking. While Lyme, which is transmitted by the black-legged tick or deer tick, is the most common, officials are also seeing an uptick in anaplasmosis and babesiosis in the region. These are less common but can be incredibly severe, especially for older adults or those with compromised immune systems.
We spoke with a local epidemiologist who emphasized the critical importance of the post-hike tick check. They noted that a tick typically needs to be attached for 36 to 48 hours to transmit the Lyme disease bacterium. Finding and removing them quickly is your absolute best defense. You need to check the hidden areas, behind the knees, under the arms, and in the hairline.
But the symptoms can be tricky to identify. Early signs of Lyme disease include fever, chills, fatigue, muscle and joint aches, and swollen lymph nodes. The classic erythema migrans rash, that bullseye pattern, occurs in about 70 to 80% of infected people. But that means 20 to 30% never get the rash at all.
That's a crucial point. If you start feeling like you have a severe summer flu after spending time in wooded or brushy areas, you shouldn't just brush it off or assume it's a typical virus. The health department is urging people to contact their primary care physician immediately if they develop those symptoms. Early treatment with a course of antibiotics is highly effective, but untreated Lyme disease can spread to the joints, the heart, and the nervous system, causing long-term debilitating complications that can last for years. The county is also stepping up its public education campaign. They are placing new, highly visible warning signs at the trailheads of all county parks and distributing informational pamphlets to local schools, scout troops, and community centers. They want to make sure everyone is aware of the risk before they head into the woods. And pet owners need to be equally vigilant. Dogs are highly susceptible to tick bites and tick-borne diseases. Vets are reminding owners to ensure their pets are up to date on their tick prevention medications, whether that's a collar, a topical treatment, or a chewable pill, and to check them thoroughly after every single walk. It's a stark reminder that while we all want to get outside and enjoy the spring weather when it's not pouring rain, we have to share the environment with these pests. Taking a few extra minutes for prevention can save you from a really serious illness.
All right, let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's show.
Sounds good. There's a lot of news moving across West Michigan. Labor agreements to infrastructure updates. Let's get into it.
First up, the Grand Rapids Education Association has reached a tentative agreement with Grand Rapids Public Schools, potentially avoiding a strike. The proposed contract includes a 5% pay increase over the next 2 years and caps class sizes at 28 students for elementary levels. This is a huge relief for parents. The union has been negotiating since February, and tensions were definitely running high. The final ratification vote by the teachers is scheduled for next Tuesday, and union leadership is strongly recommending a yes vote.
Drivers, take note. MDOT has announced major weekend closures on southbound US 131 starting tonight at 9 p.m. The highway will be completely shut down between the Pearl Street exit and Wealthy Street for emergency bridge deck repairs. If you are trying to navigate downtown this weekend, you need to plan alternate routes. MDOT expects the lanes to reopen by 5 a.m. on Monday, but given the severe weather moving in tomorrow, there's a slight chance the concrete pouring could be delayed.
On a lighter note, the Grand Rapids Art Museum has unveiled its summer exhibition lineup, which will heavily feature contemporary Indigenous artists from the Great Lakes region. The main exhibit, titled Voices of the Basin, officially opens to the public on June 1st.
It looks like a fantastic collection. And just a reminder for locals, the museum continues to offer free admission on Tuesdays, making it a great indoor activity option, especially with the unpredictable spring weather we've been having.
Finally, the West Michigan Whitecaps have completed a massive upgrade to LMCU Ballpark just in time for their upcoming homestand. The renovations include a state-of-the-art LED lighting system and a significantly expanded right field concourse.
The new lighting is going to completely change the atmosphere during night games, allowing for those dynamic light shows you see in the major leagues. Fans heading to the stadium next Thursday will be the first to experience the new setup.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. We covered a lot of ground today, from housing policy to public health and weekend traffic.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, please stay weather aware tomorrow morning. Keep an eye on those National Weather Service updates and have a plan if you are out and about.
We will be back on Monday with more news, updates, and analysis from around West Michigan. Until then, stay safe and have a great weekend.